WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Classically trained singer-songwriter Andrew Bird can go delicate, go layered, go strong. Hear from his new album, Are You Serious?
Now when you wake up, night's falling, someone is by your side. Pull it together, darling, you're not alone.
This hour on Point, the new album and many sides of Andrew Bird. You can join us online where this conversation is always on. What's your question for this singer-songwriter, Andrew Bird? 800-423-8255 is our number, 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Knoxville, Tennessee is Andrew Bird, singer-songwriter. His new album, Are You Serious, is out today. You can listen to our full Andrew Bird playlist at our website, onpointradio.org. Andrew Bird in Knoxville, welcome to On Point. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You performed last night in Knoxville. How is it to be up and around and talking at this the next day? Do you have to spare your voice, or do you have plenty when you're touring and talking?
There's still some cobwebs in there. No, my voice can holds up pretty well, actually.
We're really glad you're with us. This song behind us, Capsized, you've been playing for a long time, like maybe a decade. How and when do you decide to drop it on an album?
What was the question?
Well, you played it in live performance for a long time. Now
yeah.
Here it is in Are You Serious?
Oh, yeah. This record, I've been doing this particular song, Capsized, for 12 years. So it's, I don't know why it evaded being put on a record for so long. It's been through maybe 15 different rewrites but I play it on stage every night, so.
I've seen you say it's one of those malleable songs that can really change depending on your mood or the vibe, wherever you're performing. How does that happen? What's the range of expression of this song that you feel like you've got?
Well, I feel like I feel different every 15 minutes of the day, and my voice changes all depending on how I feel. So you want to write a song that adapts to how you feel at that moment, so that when you get on stage, you know, it's honest. And that's kind of hard to do. It's kind of hard to write a song that gives you enough freedom to do that. So it's a lot of times when you have the song that's like the key track, the single, it's been so worked over that you can't move left or right by the time you get on stage. And that's what I've been trying to figure out my whole career to avoid.
To keep that fluidity in a single song, give you some range depending on where you are when you perform it.
Yeah, just in the songs that work on stage the best are just a blueprint. Have a few chords in them, not too scripted.
There's a lot of talk about over time about your diversity. I mean, you're a multi-instrumentalist, a classically trained violinist, and of course studied music. Everybody talks about your diversity, your eccentricity. On this album, there seems to be, and you've said yourself, you're going for something a little more straightforward. It's you, so it's still wonderfully layered. But what's that paring back or paring down that you found yourself going for?
Yeah, I just, you know, it's a desire to communicate, to make something useful for people, and to do things, to do the hardest thing possible, which is just speak directly and plainly. But then again, that's me saying that. You know, it's for instance, like Left-Handed Kisses on this record is started out as me trying to write a simple love song, knowing that I would fail miserably. Like, people are complex, so it started getting very complex quickly, but that was like, what's the hardest thing I can do right now? Is try to write a love song with Baby in the chorus, you know?
Because life is more complicated than that, and yet you found the complexity even when you went for something simple.
It's going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I set myself up, but...
I was watching the video of this. Of course, you're singing here with Fiona Apple. We'll hear it in just a second. But it's really, I mean, you're sitting sort of, knees to knees. You look almost like Donald Trump and Chris Matthews in their, their confrontations. But you're with Fiona, and it's not totally unlike that because it's a, as you say, it's a love song, but it turns into a almost a bitter communication between this man and woman in this case.
Yeah. It's a strange dynamic, but it's we're both playing roles, of course, yeah. But they're based on maybe on ourselves or our former selves, and in my case, maybe my former self of I'm kind of over intellectualizing something, and she's saying, no. If you really loved me, you'd just come out and say it. And so she's the romantic. I'm kind of this too overly intellectual guy that's trying to be sincere.
Somebody you might recognize. You just might recognize.
Yeah, maybe I used to be a little like that.
Yeah. Let's listen from the new album, drops today, Are You Serious? Andrew Bird and Fiona Apple with Left-Handed Kisses.
For it begs the question, how did I ever find you? Now you got me writing love songs that come in a frame like this one, yeah. Baby, and all your left-handed kisses were just prelude to another, prelude to your backhanded love song. Begs the question, how did I ever find you drifting gently through the jar of the great Sargasso Sea and that ocean? Got me writing love songs with the common refrain, not this one here.
My guest, Andrew Bird, with Fiona Apple there in Left-Handed Kisses from his new album, Are You Serious? We've got video up that you should really check it out at our website, onpointradio.org, talking about getting at some of the complications of love. How do you work out the theater of that vocally and ultimately even visually, because video is always out there now? And how many back and forths does it take for you and Fiona to sort of find your groove? Who's directing that? Is it you? Is it a producer? How's that work, Andrew?
Well, it starts with it all in my head, mm-hmm. where, you know, it started with my single point of view, my role, and then this voice started creeping in that was like, oh, this, I'm not buying this, you know.
It's too simple, this love song. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a dialogue going on in my own head. It's my own self-doubt about what I'm writing. And then that evolves into a separate point of view, another person. But getting it out of your head where there's no need for pronouns when you're... Mm. When it's in your head and you have to figure out, okay, who's talking here? It's a bit of a mess in your head. So you have to externalize the song, and this one kind of is a bit like a short play.
Yeah.
And then Fiona took it over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she, I sent her like a demo where I pointed out who's speaking and what her role was, but then she brought like a real gravity to it, a real like you know, she's serious.
Well, I mean, watching you sing, it's a moment when like neither of you are kids anymore, not old either, but I'm really glad for your maturity in singing this. She knows what you're writing about. She clearly knows, and you clearly understand the complexity. I mean, or am I wrong? Did she just know right away, oh, yeah, I get it, you know, that angle of love that's there but yet difficult?
Well, she was just very well cast, I think.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
But for sure, I mean, then doing the video, we were uncomfortably close to each other. And we actually did a live version where we're actually almost had our foreheads, like, touching. And it's hard to make eye contact
that close for that long.
Yeah, so that kind of adds to the strange drama of it.
You're what, half a dozen years into a marriage of your own now. Marriage puts you sort of face to face, forehead to forehead. Maybe that's a dynamic you're getting to know better as you go.
Absolutely. I think you know, it's changed my songwriting considerably. it caused me to have maybe a little less patience with my own machinations, and it makes things a little more real right away. Yeah, for sure.
I want to look at that and a lot more. You're a world-famous whistler, which is kind of out of style in a lot of quarters, but really cool when you do it. We want to hear some of that. Mm-hmm. And go through a little of your musical history and bring it right up to date with the latest album from Andrew Bird. It is Are You Serious? 2005, from the mysterious production of Eggs, Fake Palindromes. Big song there, Dark Song, named one of the 500 best songs of the 2000s by Pitchfork. There, everybody gets classified somewhere. Andrew Bird kind of makes his own classification. Andrew Bird in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're so glad to have you with us on the day that the new album comes out. Are You Serious? Stand by there. We'll come back and dive right into more. Listeners, you can join us. Are you a fan, a follower of Andrew Bird? Have you watched him work his whole arsenal? The violin, guitar, mandolin, glockenspiel. How does Andrew Bird get to you? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Hope it won't hurt you bad. My dewy-eyed dizzy bright water's trying. Swapping your blood with formaldehyde. What monsters are tall? Monsters who walk the earth. And she says, I like long walks and sci-fi movies. You're 6 foot tall and East Coast bred. Suddenly now we can get together. And I wanna tie your wrist with leather and drill a tiny hole into your head. I wanna drill a tiny hole into your head. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with singer, songwriter, alt, folk, rock, force, Andrew Bird. His new album, Are You Serious?, is out today. Behind us right here, from his 2009 album, Noble Beast, Oh No, featuring a little bit of his famous whistling skills. Andrew Bird is out and about a lot right now with a new album coming out, performed in Knoxville, Tennessee last night, and is with us from Knoxville today. Home these days is Los Angeles, home of his youth, Illinois. We'll look a little bit at that. You can join us this hour. Do you know Andrew Bird? What vein does he mine for you? Have you seen him in concert, heard him whistle? Have you listened to him grow up, now into love and death and marriage and kids? What do you hear in this latest album, in his whole sound? What's the special Andrew Bird sauce? We're at 800-423-8255. Inspiration for this one. He was on a flight. Little boy sitting in front of him kept crying the words, oh no. He said in such a desolate way that Andrew Bird was moved. Wes in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with Andrew Bird.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on. I actually didn't have a whole lot to say other than my wife and I discovered Andrew Bird from a YouTube channel. It's La Blogoteca, and it's Andrew just walking around with his guitar, whistling and singing in the street to strangers. And it's completely unexpected and improv from what you can tell, and it was beautiful, and we just fell in love with it from that point on. And so every album that we've gotten, and we've been waiting on this one, so just wanted to say, you know, we fell in love with Andrew quite a while back.
Wes, I love it. Thank you for calling. Some love from Atlanta, Georgia, the man in the streets, playing, whistling, singing. Karen in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Karen, you're on with Andrew Bird.
Yes, hi, Tom. I'm interested in learning a little bit about Andrew Bird's early life and how he got involved in songwriting, both because I'm an educator and a poet, and my daughter, who's just going to head off to college, is a singer-songwriter who is, you know, like I'm trying to help her and kind of relate to my life with students, but, you know, just how do you live every day as a creative, soulful, honest artist is the question.
There's one for you, Andrew.
Okay.
I mean, you started early, what, you studied music in college, but you got right into your first album, like, immediately, and just you just keep cranking them out. How do you do it? It's a little advice here for Karen and her daughter.
Well, yeah, the first record I made was actually an independent study project. I just found a professor at when I was at Northwestern
Chicago,
who sponsored me, to make a record. And I interned at a record label, and which I was horrible at. But I found ways to kind of do things not in the codified way, but I was still in school at the time, so it was, you know, it's a very tough thing to music education is a tricky thing. I've had some great teachers, but I do still feel like I was mostly self-guided and self-taught, and that was pretty key. I mean, I learned my mom put me in violin when I was 4 years old, and I learned to the Suzuki method, so it was all by ear. It was like a folk tradition, but it was just Bach and Mozart. By the time I learned how to read music and I was playing in orchestras, my ear was always faster than my brain as far as reading and learning, internalizing music. So I had this kind of, way of soaking up different musical languages by ear. And I just always kind of resisted this is not the best advice for a musician perhaps, but I resisted method. It's just the way I am. When people say music is math, I take issue with that. Yeah. It's the opposite of math for me. It's messy and intuitive and unquantifiable.
Karen's question in a way goes even deeper or broader about, it's almost about living the life of an artist and how you keep that creativity and honesty required for that.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, and with this album, maybe in particular, I mean, you've talked about how there were some tough years leading up to this. You had a marriage and a new child. Your wife got cancer. I mean, she got over it, but that was hard.
It was very hard.
Believe me, I know. And in all that, you're composing or you're just feeling and then the composition rushes out later?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's sort of why I called this record Are You Serious is...
like what next?
Well, that could be one of the many meanings, but more like I'm saying, look at me now, I'm doing the processing pain through song thing that I never thought I would do. I never thought of myself as that kind of artist that puts their thoughts and feelings through song in such a direct way. Mm-hmm. So, and they're like, oh, here I am now finally doing that, or in an autobiographical way. So it's been I live and breathe music. There's no office hours. It drives me insane. Like when I'm making a record, I can't sleep because I can't turn it off. And I'm up at 4 a.m, going over things in my head. So as far as the day-to-day thing, it is that I envy like novelists that go to work and have, their 9 to 5 or whenever they write period. And then, but it's nonstop and it's, completely absorbing.
And a lot of this album came out, a bunch of it, in a rush, I guess, back in, everybody I talked to this week's from Illinois, but back at a family farm or in Illinois?
Yeah, it did come out in kind of that, you hear those stories like a writer who cranks out a novel in 2 weeks in their attic or something. That's usually not the way it happens for me either. It's usually a very long, and some of the songs took years and years to write, but a good number of them came out, flooding out of me when I went to this family farm where it's kind of a refuge, and I just worked every day from 9 to 2 and it all came out in like 5 days. Yeah.
Good for you. It's fun to watch. I've seen some of your sound checks. You'll play around just on the violin. That may turn into a guitar when you're in the full performance. Violin, your original instrument. I think you've got it there with you, and I don't know how your voice is feeling, but if you could give us something off your, sing us something live off your new album, we'd love it.
It may not be pretty, but I want to just kind of show you the...
I bet it'll be pretty enough.
This is called Chemical Switches.
Thank you.
Keep hearing a vicious rumor from the back rooms to the alleys to the avenues that you lost your sense of humor. And the first place you look is the soles of your shoes. And I watch your ice fields melt into the sea, warming your oceans for centuries. Will your saline waters bring you back to me? Oh, the weight is bringing me to my knees. No. Chemical switches thrown in the dark. All it takes is a spark to begin. And can you tell which is the one with the mark? Through the clothes to the skin. Back to sticks, we're lowering the boiling point. Yeah, and as time goes by, it gets harder to fix. It's a volatile mix, like hydrogen and oxygen. Chemical switches thrown in the dark. All it takes is a spark to begin.
It's great. Thank you so much for that. I know you're performing all the time, but do it live for us today there in Knoxville. Andrew Bird, Chemical Switches, from his new album. It's just out today, Are You Serious? And that great sound of you subbing the violin there, I guess, in for guitar. You play it like a guitar or like a ukulele. I wonder what your old violin teacher would have said if she could or he could flash forward all these years and see you just swing it like a guitar.
You know, I don't want to know.
Well, it's a great sound, though. It's just terrific. Tom in Boston, you're on the air with Andrew Bird. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Well.
Excellent. Hi, Andrew. Hey, listen, I had the honor of seeing you twice already here in Boston at an outdoor venue, the Boston Pavilion, and also at the House of Blues. And I'm going to see you on the 9th at the Wayne Theater. And I can't tell you how excited I am to see you at an intimate setting. Both of your shows were amazing before, but I think the Wang is going to be really incredible for your music. The acoustics there are just fantastic. So I just wanted to tell you how amazing you are, and I just think you're fantastic.
Hey,
thank you.
Big ups. You can't argue with that. Tom, thanks for that. Let's get one more. New Orleans, Louisiana. Brian, you're on with Andrew Bird in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I wanted to call in with a couple of things. The first was that I saw, or a friend took me to one of your concerts in Santa Cruz 7 years ago, something like that. And it really honestly changed the way I looked at music at the time, so I appreciate that. And I wanted to ask you a question, because earlier you said you tried to write this simple love song, but that it got out of hand, got too complicated, and I find that happens every time I try to write or draw or work on a project. So I'm curious how you balance that complexity that's so great with the need to make something sort of approachable or actually get something done. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, I started doing this, the first song I did it on was Lull from Weather Systems, where that voice, that sort of neurotic voice that's, and comes in and starts criticizing what you're doing, and that was the first time I decided to use that voice in a song. It doesn't always become a duet, but I decided that was kind of interesting to include it and kind of and honest.
Give it a lyric, embrace it, wrap it in.
Yeah. I mean, why? It's just, why edit that out is the question. And but then on the other hand, there are things, there is a lot of editing and a lot of, sometimes I say my job is sequencing and editing, deciding what song goes into the next and, you know, what not to do on the song because you can do so much. So I don't know, you just kind of follow your instincts. I mean, with this new record, I brought the editing to other people, which I've never done before. I thought, you know, novelists and filmmakers have teams of people like helping them hone it, and songwriters don't, at least in my realm, don't tend to do that. But I had an experience mixing the last record where Randy Newman decided to come by the studio. I was having a horrible day at the point of the record where I'm doubting everything, and I didn't know Randy, but he decided to come by.
What happened?
Yeah. He listened to a few tracks and he was very charming and kind of was careful not to seem like he was critiquing anything, but it was too late at that point anyway. Mm-hmm. But he did say about one particular song, Lazy Projector. Mm-hmm. He says, that's great, man. It sounds like two different songs. And I was like, oh, Randy Newman.
Did you start over and make it two different songs? Shut up.
No, he was right. I mean, it was just, he was right on. He heard what I had done, which is take a song I wrote about Kermit the Frog for a movie and that got scrapped, and then stuck it on the end of another song I wrote about writing our own memories, you know, editing our own stories. Mm-hmm. And I thought they had a little something to say to each other. But to tell you the truth, that song was not very rigorously vetted.
Shall we say?
It had only been through my own, mm-hmm. you know, internal process. Mm-hmm. And I really welcome that kind of external critique. I was like, wow, if I could get together every week with Randy Newman and Amy Mann or a number of other, you know, great songwriters and kind of have a, you know, play stuff for each other and do that, I was like, that never happened, but that was kind of the idea with this new record, is let's kind of, you know, put it through more of a process.
Producer Tony Berg, I think, working with you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Are You Serious is the new album from Andrew Bird. He's with us. You just heard him live today from Knoxville, Tennessee. Behind us here, Emetosis, 2008 Armchair Apocrypha album with more electric guitars than the earlier albums. You can join us this hour. Have you listened to Andrew Bird grow into his music, evolve in his music? What do you hear in this latest album and his whole sound? What's the special sauce here? What's your question for Andrew Bird? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Andrew, stand by. We're so glad you're there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back with more of Andrew Bird.
We were all basically alone, despite what all your studies had shown. Some sticking for closes, just a case of mitosis. Should fatal doses, malcontent through osmosis.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with singer, songwriter, alt, folk, rock, force, Andrew Bird. His new album, Are You Serious?, is out today. Joins us from Knoxville, performing there last night. He's on tour. Album out even as we speak. You can join us this hour. Are you a fan? What do you hear? In the music of Andrew Bird, 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Classically trained, up out of Illinois. A lot of time in New York in the run-up to this album. Not always easy years, those, but he's come through it in L.A. now. Living and working, and a sound that people just love for its delicacy, how layered it is. But this time out, he says he wants to be more direct, more plain-spoken. Behind us, Plasticities from Armchair Apocrypha, 2008, and Vivian on the line from Green Bay, Wisconsin, for you, Andrew. Hi, Vivian. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom, and hi, Andrew. I am so glad to be listening to this program. Have been a fan, and my husband and I have been a fan of Andrew's forever. And I just wanted to say hello to Andrew from my husband Jim of Hogeye Music, where Andrew would come in and noodle on the violins or the fiddles, and my husband's jaw didn't close for a week after the first time he heard Andrew come in. And so Jim just wanted to say hello, and we're so happy for your success and everything.
Wait, Vivian, help. Where's Hogeye Music, and when was this?
Hogeye Music.
Hogeye.
It's in Evanston, Illinois.
Great.
It's this
Northwestern
old folk music shop. It's great. It's been there for years,
yeah,
and it's just two blocks from where I was born, actually.
And whose violin were you noodling in there, Andrew? Were you picking up the shop violin or bringing in your own?
I was probably picking up what was in the shop, yeah.
So I just wanted to say, Jim said to say hello, and just we're looking forward to seeing you another time.
Well, thanks.
Great old connections.
You're
great, thank you, Vivian. Right from the home turf there, Steve in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on with Andrew Bird.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
First, I just want to say thank you to Andrew Bird. I used Armchair Apocrypha pretty heavily in the mixtape I used to woo my now wife. So you made a connection there. I wanted to ask you about echolocation because I saw that video. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering about how you feel about sound, because sometimes you seem so in love with sound. Like when I watch you at your shows, when you play with that loop pedal, when you're whistling just between sets or something, and then in the echolocations, you look so delighted every time you just ran the bow across your violin and it just echoed it. And I was just wondering, you know, are you just in love with sound more than you're in love with music, I guess, what I'm asking?
Tone, yeah. The texture and tone is really important to me, and I have almost a physical reaction to good and bad to certain tones. But I used to, from an early age, go into like a concert hall or a church by myself and try to make the certain, you know, the rafters in the room resonate. I used to try to find what the room wants to hear, which I do every night when I'm sound checking in a theater or something. It's every space is different, so you're almost doing a sort of echolocation of that space, almost like a sonic map. You know, if you couldn't see, you know, you could get a picture in your head of what that space is. So I got this idea of taking it outdoors, mainly to environments that have an acoustic property that's distinctive, and then coming in with no musical plan and then trying to find the notes that give you the most feedback from the environment and then build an improvisation on those notes.
Can I play a little bit of that? Well, we've got you, Steve, and of course, Andrew. This is from Echolocations Canyon. The Canyon wants to hear a C-sharp, an example of that from just last year from Andrew Bird. Paint the picture of where you are there, echolocating.
Well, what you're hearing there, to be honest, is the what I composed mm-hmm. after I got back from the canyon. Mm-hmm. But each composition begins with, you know, a minute or so of just playing solo in the canyon. So I just thought 45 minutes of solo violin might lose your attention. So, but yeah, this was in southern Utah in a very remote spot in Escalante National Park. And so we hiked in. It took us 5 or 6 hours to hike in. We had to practically rappel down into this canyon. And we were exhausted when we got there. And but I'd heard that this was this amazing acoustic space. It was like a canyon where the walls kind of bend inwards, so you're almost in a cathedral-like space in it. And that was the first echolocations I've done. I did various locations, one in Lisbon, Portugal, in a old aqueduct, 17th century aqueduct. And so mostly it's like environments that are giving me a lot of echo and feedback. But I'm going to keep, it's a ongoing series. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing that they're from, inspired by the Coyote Gulch Canyons in mm-hmm. Utah. The canyon wants to hear a C-sharp. I love that. Tony in Fort Knox, Kentucky, you're on with Andrew Bird.
Hi, Tom. This is Tony. Hey, I grew up with whistling with the Sons of the Pioneers with my dad. It helped me in Vietnam. It helped me in Bosnia. It helped me in 9/11. It was my soothing soul. And then one day I heard Andrew by mistake and just barely caught his name. And then when you played today, you were talking to him, I said, that's the man that's replacing Roger Whittaker for me. I love your music. I love the sound. I want to say thank you. And also thank you for the show. Appreciate you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. I wanted to talk about whistling, too. Could we play a little bit? I mean, I remember a time when whistling was quite popular, and listening to you getting ready for this show, I thought to myself, you know, I just don't hear people whistling as much anymore in general, and definitely not in performance. You've, of course, got that amazing, the Whistling Caruso that you did from the Muppets movie back in 2011. I mean, just listen to this for a second. That's just great. Where did you discover that? Just playing around, or?
You know, I've been doing it since I was, I don't know, 5, 6 years old. I remember hearing my grandmother whistling, and I think she might have showed. I mean, I don't remember much from back then.
Yeah.
My mom likes to tell, I think she's embellishing a bit, that I would go out in the woods and imitate the birds. And it's like, that sounds a little too like a mythology there, but. But I just do it incessantly. It's kind of like an escape valve for ideas. And I often don't intend to put it on a recording, but it's what I do to take the place of the melody or hold a place. Yeah. And then I can't beat it. It's just, so I resisted for the first couple of records. I thought, oh, whistling's too, gimmicky, too cute. And then
yeah.
It's like, well, why? If I'm whistling all day, why would I stop when I go on stage?
I'm so for it. Do you share my impression that people in general don't whistle as much anymore? You know, in the old, like, Good and Bad and the Ugly movie days and the old cowboy shows had a lot of whistling, and now it just doesn't seem as much a part of our culture.
You know? I don't know. It's still there. I mean, it's a funny way of communicating. Sometimes you go into a men's room or something and I'm whistling, and then it's a contagious thing. And now suddenly everyone else is whistling. And people assume you're happy when you're whistling, too, which is also not always the case.
Somehow, with Andrew Bird, with you, I think they're going to hear a little complexity even on that front. Let's hear a little more from the latest album, Are You Serious?, just out today. This is Valleys of the Young. A lot of conflicting emotions here about parenthood, including a kind of very Andrew Bird question about parenthood. Is it selfish or is it brave?
Do you need a reason we should commit treason and bring into this world a son and leave the valley?
Valleys of the Young from the new album Are You Serious? To bring into this world a son and leave the valleys of the young, the valleys of brunch and tedium. Andrew Bird, the great sound, packs so much in there. Molly in Fort Collins, Colorado, you're on with Andrew Bird.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just want to say thanks for taking my call. And Andrew, I am a huge fan. I'm going to try and keep this brief. My question is, your lyrics are often complicated and sometimes wordy. You get a lot in your lyrics, but you maintain really beautiful melodies that are very sweet and melodic. How do you manage to wrap your lyrics and your words around the melodies to keep it simple?
Right. I often begin with the melody, so it makes it exceedingly hard to find just the right combination of words that fit in the grooves of the melodies. Either if I want to tell a story, it's really hard to merge that with a melody. If I really have something, for instance, in Valleys of the Young, I've got something to say very pointedly. So that's tough. I don't know. There's like it limits your options for sure, but it can kind of lead you down some interesting alleys with, you know, syntax and whatever. It's a constant kind of push and pull between melody and what you want to say. Like this song, I had something to get off my chest, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you had a child. You had a child, leaving that valley of the young. I mean, there was this great piece from Maggie Lang in GQ where she. Very complimentary in many ways. One interesting line, listening to your music, she wrote, often feels like leaping into a gentle cyclone made of thesaurus ticker tape. I'm sure you would receive that with ambivalence, but you said you wanted to be more plain spoken in this album, and you've pulled it off. I mean, who rides the editing pedal on that process? Or is it just yourself saying, let's pare it back, pare it down?
There was some... There was a lot of pre-production on this record, and so Tony Berg, who would give me some feedback on. Mostly, he wanted me to write more, not less. Usually I think, I'm not sure what I've got to say here. And then I open my mouth and I can't stop. You know, once I start writing, it's kind of hard to stop. That particular song is, I make two choices, like Chemical Switches, which I played earlier. Mm-hmm. I tried to take a narrative approach, and it was messing up my melody too much. So I went back to the shower where I was just kind of intoning, speaking in tongues. Yeah. And then that's the old process for me, mm-hmm. is to sort of speak in tongues, find the right vowels and syllables, mm-hmm. to make the melody come across. And then the meaning kind of bubbles up subconsciously. And then I work my way towards meaning. Whereas Valleys of the Young began with, you know, pretty strong intent to tell a story. So it's many different ways to get there.
That child growing up now, your wife okay?
Yeah, she's good now.
Good.
Yeah.
We're very glad.
Yeah,
very glad.
It was scary, but yeah, yeah.
Very glad to hear that. And will California change your music? Out of the canyons of New York and into California, L.A.? Are we going to hear something entirely different next time?
I can write anywhere.
But you're still environmentally influenced, is my impression.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do have various theories about, like, if you're looking only a few inches in front of you all day, it's going to affect your sort of time and space interaction with time and space in the way you hear music. So if you can see great distances and see, you know, a storm system coming through and then passing overhead and then moving on, it's going to kind of affect your musical, the way you hear space in your music. And if you're in the canyons of New York, I think it your writing can get a little claustrophobic, I think. It makes sense.
Batten it down a little bit there. We'll see what comes from Los Angeles days. Mm-hmm. Andrew Bird's new album is Are You Serious? It is out today. Plays tonight in Knoxville at the Big Ears Festival there. Behind us here, Heretics. Good hit for Andrew Bird. Andrew, it's been just great talking with you today. Love your music, and we wish you well with the new album, the tour, everything. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Great to have you. Thanks for bringing your violin. Thanks for singing for us.
No problem.
And whistling. Andrew Bird in Knoxville, Tennessee. The album is Are You Serious? Here's Heretics. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're so down about it. How about some credit now? Credit is due for the damage that we've done. We have wrought upon ourselves and others with a slow and vicious gun. And although pratfalls can be fun, encores can be fatal. And then I hear you say, thank God it's fatal, thank God it's fatal. Not shy, not shy. Not shy and fatal. Thank God. Thank God it's fatal. Thank God it's fatal.